You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
I want to ask you this last part about unity is, you know, Solomon says, I've looked through the lattice work and I've seen things that are observed. And it's almost like, you know, God gives a person a call and he or she hears legitimately that call. Mm. And they begin to move in that call, yet their very own words are coming against their very own call. For unity, for example, say if God's calling the church to unify, and of course it's Christ-centered unity, not hot dog or hamburger.
Right.
Unity, but yet they immediately, the enemy's gonna attack that person in regards to being divided from the very thing they need to unite with.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, oh my goodness, well, how, you know, it could be that's in the air. You know, some of the things that's been seen about our region, for example, is there was an African minister who was praying in intercession, and God showed him America, and he showed him the Southeast United States, and showed him the panhandle of Florida. And of course, we have a history here of First Nation people being here, and then the indigenous people were treated, you know, wrongly, and different things that have happened. Geronimo was actually here. I don't know if you know about Geronimo. He was kept here at Fort Pickens. And so what he saw was all of a sudden the church would get active and begin moving around and activity. And then this Indian chief would take this pipe, smoke from a pipe, and he'd blow the smoke over the panhandle and everybody to go back to sleep again. But one of the things that we did historically was, you know, we walked out repentance for what happened to the First Nation people in this particular area. But there seems to be, you know, this unity seems to be so easy, but yet to be so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we saw unity in for 10 years with the Malachi Mandate. We had all seven mountains of culture involved in it. We had unity that somebody in their 70s said they'd never seen in decades of ministry. We saw businesses, government, police, military, pastors, community, but that was outside of what we know as a church building.
Yeah.
It was in the wilderness, it was, you know, steering committees and people were just moving. But when they went back into the buildings and they met God, the glory of God, they were weeping, the power of God's there, they had this encounter with God. But when they went back in the buildings, Adam, and we saw them like maybe 90 days later, 6 months later, they're walking the streets, they're like zombies. They were like, just, hello, hey, how are you doing? Like, are you the same person that just encountered God? What do you think that is? It's like, cause it was happening outside the building, but once it went back in the building, it just stopped.
I think of David, like when he was king, and David was the type of king where he didn't delegate his battles out. He was the type of guy that was actually in the front line swinging swords.
Yeah.
And when he would send his infantry in, he was off his horse, in with the infantry, going after it. His type of leadership was very different than the type of leadership that preceded him.
Right.
And that type of leadership is so crucial if we want to really win over for long longevity. If we want to win over and have a consistent move of God, the leadership really have to live this out. You can't talk about it and preach on it if you yourself aren't doing it. It's like Timothy sitting down with his church in Ephesus and saying, well, we must all be doing the Great Commission.
Right.
And then Timothy's calling up Paul and going, no one wants to do the Great Commission. And then Paul says, hey, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
Because you can't lead if you're not doing it yourself. It's kind of like, do as I say, but not as I do.
Right.
So the leadership-wise, if the leader just expects it to continue on without their responsibility of managing well what is going on so that it can be fueled and it can be consistent. And I feel like David, when he pulled back from the battle and he started living in the palace and eating the delicacies of what it meant to be a king, I think that's when he opened the door to that, what you're saying, just he lost his edge in that season, he lost his passion in that season, but God restored him. And you know what?
Did,
if you've lost your edge, if you've lost your passion, or you're going back to the way it used to be and kind of wishing that those days would come back, it can come back.
Right.
It's just a matter of repenting like David did, and let's get back out again,
right,
and let's keep on advancing the kingdom and keep on advancing the perimeters of the church. We don't have to kind of wait it out. I think there's a lot of people that are waiting and waiting and waiting. And the problem with waiting now is that as we're waiting and we're praying, if we're not hearing the voice of God to action, then we have to ask, who are we praying to and who are we worshiping? Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. So if we're waiting and we're hearing from God, it's going to lead to action. That's why the book of Acts is well titled. It's not the book of prayer. It's not the book of, come together and sing songs and get goosebumps. And we come together, yes. We do pray, yes, but it's also for an action. It's to get out and let's do something about what's going on in our generation. So I think that what we're about to see will be that unity, but like you said, it's going to be connected to action, and it's going to be connected to let's do something about our faith in our community. And I'm really excited about that.
Well, Russell Moyer is going to be here next week, and he's talking. He's a prophetic man. Wow. He's a prophet.
Wow.
But he's talking about that unity cannot happen outside of the authority. The authority that God's established in the church has to buy into what God wants to do. They have to. You can never go around the established authority to bring unity. I mean, that's what he's saying in the context of that.
That's good.
It's good. But you're thinking like, oh, dear Lord, touch the authority. Yeah. You know, they have a heart. Because sometimes I think, you know, you can be so comfortable in the palace that you miss out on what it's all about. And that, you know, I don't know, but I just know by hearing that, I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, and God can do it. Because I know the people are hungry for it. And I know when revival hit in such a way, touching the pastor. I mean, during Brown's revival, you have many pastors that got saved.
Wow.
That they inherited the ministry from their biological fathers, you know, and they just kind of went along, things like that. But when they encountered God, they realized, you know, that I didn't know him, and they got saved. And they were, you know, pastoring during that time.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.